I just finished a remarkable novel called The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. Harold Fry, an ordinary retired Englishman, receives a letter from his old friend, Queenie Hennessy, who is dying of cancer in a hospice hundreds of miles away. Harold writes a simple note back, intending to drop it in the nearest mailbox, but instead finds himself walking past it and past the next one, until quite in spite of himself, he is on a pilgrimage to see Queenie one last time. Harold Fry does not consider himself a religious fellow. He would probably not use the word pilgrimage to describe his journey. One of the definitions of the word pilgrimage is a journey to a sacred place or shrine. A journey to a sacred place or shrine. Harold has no idea if he can make it to the hospice before Queenie dies, but I believe the sacred place he actually discovers on his determined way there is his true self. The Jesuit writer James Martin says, being holy means simply being who you are. Being holy means simply being who you are. And I believe Harold finds this holiness on his way to Queenie. The woman in today's gospel reading has been on another journey, one that involved many doctors, financial ruin, and more importantly, no cure for her affliction. Something about the person of Jesus was so compelling that she pressed forward into the thronging crowd, an extremely courageous action, considering her marginalized status as a woman whose illness made her ritually unclean. But something in her saw the current running through Jesus, and she thought, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured. As she touched his cloak, that electrical current of healing surged immediately into her and out of Jesus, a feeling quite distinct from the throbbing pulse of the crowd. And what does Jesus say to this woman, who terrified now falls to his feet? Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. In our second gospel story, the young daughter of Jairus dies before Jesus can reach the house. And yet Jesus, unperturbed by this news, says to Jairus, do not fear, only believe. When Harold Fry finally does mail his first note to Queenie Hennessy, his P.S. is, wait for me. And then, you must keep waiting. And again, do not give up. Surely not enough in the face of inoperable cancer. But this is the very faith Jesus is encouraging. Let your faith be bigger than your fear. In fact, as Harold trudges on, he feels if he could only keep looking at the things that were bigger than himself, he would make it to Queenie. When Jesus arrives at the home of Jairus, he allows only a few people to be with him in the room where the child is, her parents and his intimate friends. Jesus himself wants to be surrounded by those who believe, who fervently want this little girl to live. Again, the words of Jesus are striking. Little girl, get up. Jesus, who is the author of life, says, live, little girl. Jesus, who is the fullness of life, says, live out of your whole self. Rise, stand up. Step into the fullest expression of your life. Mary Oliver says, listen, are you breathing just a little and calling it a life? Are you breathing just a little and calling it a life? Henry Miller says, the aim of life is to live. And to live means to be aware, joyously, drunkenly, serenely, divinely aware. Living fully alive. When Harold sets out with his note to Queenie, he has hardly any life at all. His intimate relationships, especially the one with himself, are nearly frozen. Harold has kept himself from feeling anything for so long. It is a miracle just to be outside, walking in an increasingly unfamiliar landscape, both around him and deep within. Part of being fully alive is honoring our losses and our grief. David White says, "It might be liberating to think of human life as informed by losses and disappearances as much as by gifted appearances, allowing a more present participation and witness to the difficulty of living." Jairus and his wife felt the full impact of losing their beloved daughter, so her restoration to them is unspeakable joy and gratitude. I recently lost someone very beloved to me, the man who founded the company where I currently work. I never considered Mr. Costello a father figure, but when I lost my father 3 years ago, it was an immense consolation to be around him. The workplace is a difficult setting to hold one's grief. But upon reflection, there seem to be so few places in our current culture where we can truly honor our losses. This poem is called "The Privilege of Grieving." We have lost the gravity of things. Even death is folded neatly into our day, barely disturbing us at all. I loved this man, this dear man who is gone, and it is honorable to give his death the weight it deserves, to feel it with my whole heart, my whole soul, to wear his absence there. We have lost the gravity of things. Even death is folded neatly into our day, barely disturbing us at all. I loved this man, this dear man who is gone, and it is honorable to give his death the weight it deserves, to feel it with my whole heart, my whole soul, to wear his absence there. In our beautiful reading from Wisdom, we hear that God did not create death, but created us for incorruption and made us in the image of his own eternity, a beautiful way of imagining our transition from this place of existence. What we hold in the tabernacle of our memory is the gift of the person's life. On his arduous way to Queenie Hennessy, Harold Fry found the wholeness and holiness of his life. By setting out to bring life to someone else, Harold got his own life back. His wife, upon encountering him weeks into his journey, it was the pared-down vitality of him that made her tremble, as if he had at last become the man he should have been all along. As if he had at last become the man he should have been all along. In John O'Donohue's beautiful poem for death, he says, "That the silent presence of your death would call your life to attention, wake you up to how scarce your time is and to the urgency to become free and equal to the call of your destiny, that you would gather yourself and decide carefully how you now can live the life you would love to look back on from your deathbed." That you would gather yourself and decide carefully how you now can live the life you would love to look back on from your deathbed. In our gospel reading, the power of Jesus was at the service of love, restoring the woman and the child to full health, returning them to their communities. Our most authentic being is love, and Jesus lived out of love fully, urging us to do the same. This final poem speaks to that. Love made me, love sustains me, love leads me forth. For this I sing praise, bow low, and put my life at the disposal of love. Every tree, every single star in the sky points back toward the beloved. May nothing pull me away from love. No small wish of mine, next to the immensity of the beloved. With the beloved, may I shine. Blessed be. So we will now have our silent reflection, followed by the anthem.